Thank you for downloading the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast. You can find more relationship insights at focusonthefamily.com/marriage podcast.
Well, I've talked on this podcast before about how my wife is more verbose than me. She talks more than I do. I guess I get my words out here in the studio and I go home and I'm just quiet. But after years of marriage, that's still the case. I'm thinking of some broadcast guests that we had some time ago, Bill and Pam Farrell, and they talked about men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. And there are times when I just lose the train of thought because Dina starts at one point and she goes here and it's all connected and makes perfect sense in her head. She gets frustrated because I can't follow that. And it's sort of like, slow down. I'm just dumb old John over here. I need to catch up with all the words in your head. Well, I am John Fuller, along with my friends Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin. They run the Focus Marriage Department here, and we're returning to a conversation Greg and Erin had with Jim Daly about how husbands and wives communicate differently. It generally is a fact. Let's go ahead and listen in.
Men and women, this is a generalization, I get that, and probably the 80-20 rule applies, where 80% of men will act this way, and women, and 20% the other way. So I get that, but typically, Greg, I'll let you speak for the men. What are men like? Maybe we should reverse this, actually.
I know, after that noise, now that I think we might start over.
But go ahead, take a swing. What are men about? Typically,
you know, so take communication, for example. So as for me, a lot of men see communication needing some sort of specific purpose, a problem to solve, something to fix, a question to answer, some decision that we need to make. So if there's not a clear purpose in my mind, I don't need to do a lot of talking.
So is this hardwired? Why is it so predictable?
I think it's exactly hardwired. I think it's back to the Genesis verse. God made us male and female. So as a male, just the way that God's created us, for most men, we communicate when there's purpose. We're looking to fix something, to solve something. Our goal is action. So I'm listening for facts. I'm listening for what is it that Erin wants here? And the irony is that she's completely different. So within communication, you know, Erin, she's wanting to connect. She's wanting to relate.
Erin's going to talk about that. Go ahead, Erin. Tell us about the women.
She really wants to talk about it.
Man,
that.
He's telling me what I'm about.
He knows that I'm going to have a lot of words to say and a lot of emotion, and I really want to connect. So he was trying to stifle
just because
that.
I love her.
He was getting to the point.
All right, formally, Erin.
He was trying to control me. So
tell me what women are about, mostly. Again, 80-20 rule.
Exactly, and like you're saying, so many couples will say, oh, I'm totally opposite of that. But as women, we want to connect. We want to build an intimate, close relationship through conversation. We just want to share. There's no limit on the number of words we have to emote with. And really, we're sharing our feelings and our needs. And the ultimate goal is just this deep level of connection. And obviously, it's very different than what men want through this conversation. Thus, it can be frustrating.
You know, one of the funniest times, we were driving the car. And I remember we're driving there. I'm driving. So we're on this road trip.
Yeah. Somebody's driving.
Someone's driving. Hopefully. So I'm driving, and I literally am just thinking, how nice is this? I'm with my wife, I'm with my family, and we're just driving. We don't need to say anything. We're just enjoying the beautiful scenery. And finally, Erin goes, you know what? She goes, what is wrong? She goes, you won't say anything. And I'm going, wait, what? Here, I'm thinking we're having this lovely time, silent. We're just looking at the beauty God's created.
I really thought he was like blocking me out or, you know, ignoring me. And we're sitting side by side. What a great opportunity to connect.
So there's not much relationship looking at a tree is what you're saying, Erin.
Looking out the window.
Feeling quite comfortable.
Not doing it for me.
There was no purpose in this conversation, we're just driving together. And again, now I know that she likes to connect that way. So is her husband. I have to remember that she wants me to initiate, to share, to ask her questions, to get to know her. So I get that. It just shows you the difference, though. I was perfectly content just being next to my best friend, my wife, in the car, not saying anything. And here she's thinking I'm blocking her out of my life.
Okay, I got to ask you, did that erupt into a little argument?
It did. Do you remember what happened?
And then I shut down because
then
I was
you really
mad.
Had
yeah.
Down.
I think before we drove across the state of New Mexico in silence.
It was a long drive.
Well, that, and that's an illustration of what happens. Just expectations are in a different place, and then you end up truly upset with each other.
Yeah, and what would have been so helpful is for me to understand that he needs these times of just quiet. And it's not that it has nothing to do with me. It's how he was created. And thus, understanding these differences helps so much.
Well, that's a pretty funny story about your different communication styles. And Greg, when you mentioned that you enjoy silence, I connected. I mean, but I did start wondering if nonverbal communication can be as effective in a marriage as verbal communication.
I mean, it absolutely can. I think for me, even thinking about that story, I think what's important that I've had to learn to do is to really to understand my motivation in that moment. Because there's definitely times that I'm very, very comfortable with silence, and it can just help unwind. It can actually help charge me up to sort of disconnect and just be silent. We don't have to have some long or overly verbose conversation. And there's nothing wrong with that if my silence is being done more as a self-care kind of just recharging. But there are plenty of times that my silence is masking something that's really going on. Something that's bothering me.
You can tell.
Hey, shh, you be silent right now. And so that I think that's what's very, very important is for me to have that awareness. And sadly, I don't always in the moment recognize that I'm being silent because I'm mad about something or I'm hurting or I'm frustrated or something's gone on. And it's super confusing to Erin because Erin, she just has this amazing ability to read me. She can tell. I mean, she knows when something's just a little bit off.
But it's helpful to know that about Greg.
Did you see that nonverbal communication right there? Did you see her moving and like all animated? Can't see it, but I just noticed that.
Because let's say even this weekend, we did a marriage seminar and we get on the airplane and he stops talking because he puts his noise-canceling headphones on. Well, I used to take that personally.
Best money I've ever spent.
Yeah, especially with the screaming child two rows back. Yeah. But I used to take that personally and think, he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. Is he upset? But now I know, because we've communicated about it, that it's just what he needs and he enjoys that. That's how he recharges before we get home. But there are times that he's being silent, and especially if he's biting his lip.
That I'm checked out or I'm logged off or whatever.
He's irritated, and I know that there's more going on.
Yeah. And so sometimes Erin will actually ask me, going, hey, does the silence mean more or do you just need a break and recharge?
Yeah.
Or is something else going on? Because Erin's super intuitive and sensitive to just that subtle silence, and often right personalizing that is kind of the first interpretation. Huh. So I appreciate it when she asks me that. But I'm telling you, there are moments that I'm fine, and honestly, I'm not really aware of what's going on. And then it's like, okay, I want to be silent. Now we're really trying to process why I don't know what's going on and why am I being silent. And so it's almost like the spouse has to do some self-soothing.
Yes.
This is okay.
Yeah.
Something's going on. We don't have to figure it out right now. I don't have to take it personally. God help me here.
We have a regular trip we make to Denver every week. And on the drive home, it might be that Dina gets really quiet and she's talkative and usually processing out loud. So if she's quiet, sometimes I have to look over to see if she's awake because she might be, she might be catching a snooze, which is fine. Or I just say, hey, you know, what's running through your head right now? Cause I know there's probably something going on and she may say, I don't want to talk about it right now.
And that's the art, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, because we so conclude, oh, it's about me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's mad at me.
Yeah.
What that's the danger of not being able to process through. And I can tell, I know when Erin's struggling going, what did I do? Like, why are you mad at me?
Yeah.
And I'm going, this is nothing to do with you. But I'm not offering, hey, we're good, or I need some moments of silence just to kind of wrap my head around what am mm-hmm. I feeling or what's really going on.
But it's so good because, like you said, then that means I've got to take care of me. And it's not that I got to, it's that it's my job. And so as you are silent, what does that stir up in me? And, you know, between God and I, we can take care of it. And when he's ready, he'll come to me. I might check in again, not in the moment right away, but give you some space and then come back and go, hey, any insights? And usually when that happens, Greg will come back. It may be 12 hours, 24 hours, and he'll say, oh, my word, I had no idea that this is what was going on.
So well, this is all aspirational, by the way. We're saying this is the ideal. Aaron and I do not always handle the silence this way. Mm-mm. And we're just saying, like you, we want to get better at this, and I wish I could on a regular basis offer her quick insight into if I'm not wanting to talk or mm-hmm. what the silence means.
Yeah.
But it's hard, but make it aspirational.
Keep working at it. That's some great advice from Greg and Aaron all throughout these past couple of episodes. And their book, The Wholehearted Wife, which was written as well with Dr. Gary Smalley, is a resource that we'd love to put in your hands as you seek to grow in your relationship. There are so many ways to grow. That is a super tool, The Wholehearted Wife. We'll send a copy of that book to you as our thank you for your gift of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today. And we'll link over to ways to donate and get the book in the episode notes. And I'll also mention, as I often do, our free marriage assessment. Over 1 million people have taken that. Why don't you join the ranks and learn more about your relationship? That marriage assessment, we'll link over to it in the newly revised show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Pastor Ron Zappia and his wife Jody as they share how God redeemed their broken marriage. For now, I'm John Fuller. On behalf of the Smalleys and the entire team, thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.